Before we get started with this week's episode, we'd like to remind you folks that the Air Raid podcast is available at many places, including iTunes, the Stitcher Radio app for your smart device, CairoRadio.com, and the all-new Adore Network at Adore.fm. Let's get started with the episode. Hello and welcome, everyone. Welcome to the Air Raid Podcast. This is episode 298 in what is now officially considered a long and drawn-out series. I am your host, Aaron Roden, and this, of course, is the show where we drop bombs of awesome straight into your ear holes. Boom indeed, folks. We've got a veritable payload of awesome for you this week with our special guest, Jane Lynch. Will be joining us here shortly. You know Jane Lynch, man. Yeah, that Jane Lynch. Let's go down the list here. Best in Show, A Mighty Wind, Reno 911, Family Guy, as many, many characters. Oh my God, the list just keeps going on and on and on. Monk, Las Vegas, Arrested Development. Oh, geez. She's got a new movie coming out. Party Down. Oh my God, I love that show. Party Down. I'm just going through a list here. This is no fun. Got a new movie coming out with Christopher Guest. It's called Mascots. We're going to talk about that a little bit. 40-year-old virgin. Oh my God. Wreck-It Ralph. Daughter loves that show. We're going to have my daughter on this show, actually. We're going to have a little bit of a Bring Your Daughter to Work Day on this here episode of the Air Raid Podcast. Tatum, Olivia Roden, 5-year-old Tatum Olivia Roden is going to be joining us here in studio very shortly just to talk about Wreck-It Ralph and talk about how excited or lack thereof she was that her dad was talking to Jane Lynch, one of the characters from Wreck-It Ralph. So we'll talk to her in a moment. But yeah, we got Jane Lynch, man. This was really exciting for me. Jane is going to be on tour doing this like cabaret style comedy show, a national tour. It's called See Jane Sing. And she starts out June 1st at the Newmark Theater in Portland, Oregon. She'll be here in Seattle at the Triple Door for two nights, June 3rd and 4th at the Triple Door, June 10th at House of Blues in Houston, Texas, and the 11th in Dallas, Texas at House of Blues, at the Empire in San Antonio, Texas on June 12th, June 14th, Sheldon Theater in St. Louis, Missouri, and the list goes on and on, folks, until the end of June. Please go to janelynchofficial.com and check out the tour dates and get your tickets there and everything like that. Should be a lot of fun. We talk about that as well, and her lack of love for the art of dancing, which I found a little bit curious because she was in the show Glee, right? There was dancing in Glee, right? I know they're singing. She really likes to sing, so that makes sense. But I thought there would be dancing in that show, too. She was on Glee for many years. Wonderful, wonderful chat with Jane Lynch that we'll be getting into here in a moment. Let's see. Mascots, man. Mascots coming out somewhere in July on Netflix. The new Christopher Guest joint, man. Oh, man, am I excited to see that. Holy crap. Okay, anyway. Let's see. What do we got here? We got a couple things on the docket to get out of the way here. There's a we got this awesome email and another donation from wonderful listener Robert Stewart, located there in Jacksonville, Florida. Robert, if you remember, gave us a nice, hefty donation like a couple months ago, and it was super, super nice. And then he just donated again to the show, and I can't believe it. And I gotta say, man, this is really cool. Really, really great of Robert to, pitch us some coinage. That was the dumbest thing I've ever said. P- pitch us some coinage. That's awful. That's awful. But it really helps out in the long run. It helps us keep this show together, keeps new equipment rolling in, because this stuff really, I mean, I use this day in and day out. And cords go bad. We accidentally drop microphones, and we need to get new microphones and things like that. And so the donations that come from you guys, because we don't have a lot of sponsors all the time on this here program, getting donations from you guys is how we run this show. And if you'd like to donate to the show, only, you know, whatever you feel is necessary. We're not asking for a whole bunch here, but it does add up. So we'd like you to go to air-raid.net, and if you can find it in your wallet to donate to us, you know, $5, $10, $15, $20, $100, we would be eternally grateful, and we would be able to continue to pump out this free entertainment for you each week, okay? So go to air-raid.net, and the Donate tab is right there on the top left-hand side of the page as you scroll down to look at the podcast section. And right there is this big green button that turns red when you put your cursor over it, and it says Donate. Because we do sorely need your donations. And thank you so much to Robert Stewart of Jacksonville, Florida, for donating once again. He actually wrote an email as well. And it starts here. Aaron, dude, great shows the last couple of weeks. Again, I'm learning of new artists thanks to you. I'm grateful to have found you because we have similar tastes and interests. And I can trust that if you like it and it's new to me, I need to check it out. Case in point, Lyrics Born. Fucking great. I love it. I love it. Swearing in emails. That's wonder. That's the only way to go. But you really had me at Duosonic. Here's where we get into the nerdy guitar talk. I love this, Robert. I absolutely love this. But you really had me at Duosonic. First Git was a full-length 64 Olympic White with tortoiseshell pickguard. Oh, that's a beautiful guitar. Sold it to some punk in the 90s. Some bullshit about his uncle playing drums in the Allman Brothers. He did pretty good for himself. Good guitar karma by passing it along to someone who played. Wish I still had it. Oh, and he goes on about how he found a new guitar, and it's always great to really kind of connect with people who share the same interests, man. And that's what we try to do on this show. You know, I find out about a lot of great music, a lot of great stuff that's coming up that I feel like people should know about, and that's what I'm doing here, man. That's what I'm doing here. So thank you again, Robert Stewart of Jacksonville, Florida, for donating to the show and sending us that wonderful email. Always good to find another Fender guitar fanatic out there, right? As if there aren't enough of us out in the world. Let's do this, shall we? Let's get into this chat that I had with my daughter, 5-year-old Tatum Olivia Roden. I'm going to use this as a little preemptive strike before we get into the conversation with Jane Lynch. All right? Okay. Here's me and my daughter talking about the upcoming interview with Jane Lynch.
That picture right there on the computer.
Oh, yeah.
What are we going to do with that picture?
Oh, we're just going to leave it up there. Is that okay?
Yeah.
So do you know that Daddy talked to her on the telephone?
No.
You didn't? But I just told you that.
I knew that.
You knew that. Were you excited when Daddy talked to her on the telephone?
Yeah.
You were?
Yeah.
How come?
Because I liked her in the movie when she was...
Speaking to the microphone. Speaking to the microphone.
I like when she was in the Wreck-It Ralph movie. I like it when I saw Wreck-It Ralph, when the picture of Wreck-It Ralph on every movie on over here on the TV.
Uh-huh.
And I saw Wreck-It Ralph.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Do you like Wreck-It Ralph?
Yeah.
Is that like one of your favorite movies?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I like the little girl who...
You like Penelope?
Yeah.
Yeah? What do you like about Penelope?
I like Wreck-It Ralph where he climbed up that top of the tower.
Mm-hmm.
That's big tower.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
How could he climb up that high?
I don't know. Maybe he's super strong. What do you think?
Remember those little girls who wrecked the little girl's...
Oh, Penelope's car?
Yeah.
Penelope's cart?
Yeah.
Yeah, they wrecked it, huh? That wasn't very nice, was it?
No.
Yeah. So what about Jane Lynch's character? Yeah. What's her name?
I don't know.
So, Jane Lynch plays Sergeant Calhoun. Right? And what did you tell me about Sergeant Calhoun when we were inside? That she starts out kind of mean?
Yeah.
And then where does she go?
And then she goes, and then she sees Wreck-It Ralph climbing on top of the tower.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, in the video game, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then she gets kind of mad, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. But then at the end, is she a good guy?
Yeah.
Yeah? She becomes nice?
Yeah, she likes Penelope then.
Oh, she does?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. Well, should we listen to this? Should we listen to this?
There's a bad guy in Wreck-It Ralph, right?
Who's the bad guy?
The one that where Wreck-It Ralph turns kind of mad when the bad guy fights with him.
Oh.
And yeah. Remember?
Is that a scary part?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I don't like the bad guy.
Oh, really?
But I like Penelope, though.
Okay. Do you like Jane Lynch's character?
Yeah.
Yeah? You like Sergeant Calhoun?
Yeah.
Yeah? How do you like being on the podcast with Daddy?
I like it.
Is it kind of fun?
Yeah.
It's just talking, right?
Uh-huh.
That's all we're doing. Just like we're at home.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Uh-huh.
Should we do this for Take Your Daughter to Work Day? No.
No.
Why not?
I
think we should do it.
Yeah, I want to do it.
We should do this more often.
I want to do it with Daddy.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Why?
Because I like it.
You like it?
Yeah.
What about the fact that you love Daddy? Do you love your Daddy?
Yeah.
Okay, okay.
I love you to the moon, to the sun, to the stars,
yeah,
to the airplane,
whoa,
to the Jupiter, to Mars, to Saturn, to Uranus, Neptune,
yeah,
and back.
Oh man, that's a lot. That's a long way. That's a lot of love.
Yeah.
I love you too, honey.
I love you too.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I see. Oh, isn't that the best? That's my kid. That's my kid. Yeah. Oh, we're having a little problem with her doing baby talk. That's her baby talk voice. And we're trying to get her away from that. But it can't be helped. It can't be helped. It's Take Your Daughter to Work Week at the Air Raid Podcast. And yes, I know that that's, it's not on the regular calendar. We're not sticking with the regular calendar on this. But we don't like to adhere to your social constructs, world. All right. Let's do this, shall we? Let's go with our first musical break, and when we get back, we'll be talking with Jane Lynch of the new movie Mascots by Christopher Guest, out in July at some time on Netflix, and also doing her live show called See Jane Sing. She's on tour in June, all right? So go to janelynchofficial.com and check it out for yourself. Check out where she's going to be and grab your tickets. All right. We're going to be featuring music today from one of my personal favorite musicians of all time. His name is Eric Blood. He's a fantastic producer, amazing musician, and he's got a new album out that's out now. I want you to go to ericblood.com, and we'll have links to this on our show page at air-raid.net, and get yourself a copy of this latest album called Lost in Slow Motion. It is absolutely fabulous. This song is called Covered in Color, and we'll be right back with more of the Air Raid Podcast for your ears when we return with special guest Jane Lynch this week on episode 298. Be back in a moment, folks. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
from the landline, right?
Oh, you are calling from a landline. That's great.
I am. Yeah.
A seasoned professional.
Yes, indeed.
I gotta ask you, since you are such a professional, what do you think when you hear your PR people come back to you and say, "Hey, do you want to do a phoner?" What is the first thing that comes to your mind? I want you to be completely honest.
I don't mind
honest.
Them at all.
They're terrible.
I am.
Right?
I don't mind them at all.
Oh, you don't?
No. I'd much rather do a phoner than have to like write out my answers. And look, I'm grateful to have the opportunity to promote the show. So I prefer sitting here in the comfort of my own home and yapping with you.
Well, okay. I was totally prepared for you to say I don't like them at all.
Oh, well, what, do you want me to say that? And then you can do whatever shtick you had planned?
Yeah, let's start over. One, two, no.
Sure.
Well, thank you so much for joining me here today from your lovely home
in
Los Angeles. Is that where you are at?
That it is where I am. Now, are you having a crackling on the line? Because I don't think it's me.
I think it might. Yeah, it might be on my end. I'm sorry. I apologize.
Okay. That's okay. I don't mind it if you don't mind it.
Nah. Why not? We'll just go.
All right.
So I want to talk a little bit about you before we get into this show that you're putting on at the Triple Door.
Sure.
I just got a couple of questions about your past and how you got started in this whole business.
Sure.
Did you know from a young age that you wanted to do acting?
I did. Yeah. I can't remember a time when I didn't know that. Yeah, I was. I always wanted to be on stage, and I always wanted to be inside that little box we called the TV. It was always what I wanted to do.
What was your first memory of like, realizing that as a child?
Well, I'm embarrassed because I use this story all the time, but it's the truth. I was in a school play, and I played one of the. We spelled out the word candle, and I was A. And I just loved it. And I remember, feeling the, it wasn't necessarily a funny role. It was actually quite dramatic and sweet. And I remember feeling the energy from the audience and just going, I want more of this.
Yeah? That was it, huh?
Yeah.
How old were you?
That was it. Well, I think it even happened before then. I just actually happened to remember that. I think that was first grade.
Yeah?
So six, seven. Mm-hmm.
Were you nervous at all?
Yeah, but it was a good nervousness. It was like a high. I really loved it, and I've been chasing that ever since. I love that.
Oh my God! See, that's the complete opposite of what I have experienced in my life. I was at like a Boy Scout camp, and I couldn't have been older than maybe 8 years old. And we had to go up. Each troop had to go up on stage and do this little song and dance thing. And it was all rehearsed and practiced and everything. And when it was time for my troop to get up there, I told the troop leader that I had to go to the bathroom, and I sat in the porta potty while my troop did this song and dance. And I didn't get my badge.
Oh, that's funny. Didn't get my badge
at the end of that.
Nope. Really? You didn't step up and be one of the group.
No, man. I don't know what it is.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that there are some people who like that and some who don't. And the ones who don't, I mean, I think it's kind of cruel to expect them to do it.
It is. It's almost like waterboarding. If you don't like it, don't do
it. Yeah, it is, isn't it? Yeah. I would equate it with waterboarding. I don't think you're going too far.
Did you ever feel a fear when you started? Like, was there ever any, like, anything that kind of, that, you wanted to hold back a little bit? Or
dancing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, dancing. I did a play, Bye Bye Birdie,
okay,
with my church. And there was a dance sequence, and I walked off stage in the middle of the, it was like a number, and then it breaks into, it said, there are chicks just right for kissing. And then it breaks into this dance thing. So I was there for the singing part, and then it broke into the dance thing, and I just stepped off stage.
You just
stayed there until it was over.
So you pulled an Aaron. You just said, "Hey, you know what?
Yes,
nobody's going to notice."
Nobody noticed though.
Oh, that's great. How old were you at that point? Was this just last year?
15, 16.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So what was life like for you growing up as a child? Were your parents very supportive of your chosen profession?
Not particularly, but not unsupportive either. It was just like, what? Oh, you know, it still didn't compute with them.
Well, your parents
that I really didn't. And then when it came.
Oh, I was just going to say your parents were the professional types, right? Your dad was a banker, if I'm correct.
Right. My dad was a banker, but that means something different today. My dad was a banker at your local savings and loan. And, you know, he was, not a big muckety muck. And my mother was a stay-at-home mom and then a secretary. But, you know, we were from a solidly middle-class family, solidly middle-class neighborhood. You know, the church was a Catholic church, and that was our parish, and you knew everybody from the parish. And, the going on to be an actress was like was a preposterous thing that didn't compute with anybody.
And where did you grow up?
So I didn't feel supported necessarily,
right.
And it took great courage that I didn't even know that I had in me, because I was actually never thought of myself as a courageous person to kind of jump off the cliff and say, this is what I'm doing and I'm going to take my chances. And I know, and it meant so much to me to have my parents' support for things, and I did it without their ringing endorsement.
Yeah, yeah. Where did you grow up?
On the south side of Chicago, in a suburb called Dalton.
Okay, okay. And was there many opportunities for acting and comedy out there?
Well, not really. No, certainly not professional. There was the church plays, there were the school plays, and that's about it. We didn't even have a little theater in the town. Chicago is thriving, but that's a billion miles away when you're 15. You know, it's only 20 minutes up the interstate.
And when did you make the leap then? Was it college?
I made the leap in undergrad. I unbeknownst to my parents, I changed my major to theater. Uh-huh. I actually got a tuition scholarship and started, I kind of was in the theater department from freshman year on. And when you're a second semester freshman, you can be cast in plays. And I was cast in a show called Lysistrata, which is a Greek play by Aristophanes that we did as a musical. And, it's still one of the more brilliant things I think I've ever been involved with. It was really, really smart and funny. And then I did plays at Illinois State. That's where I went. And then I got into graduate school. By auditioning at Cornell in upstate New York, and my parents were like, what are you doing? Why are you continuing with your education? And, I got a scholarship to that so that it was off their nose, and, they still didn't really understand what I was doing.
Yeah.
In fact, until I was back in Chicago doing theater, and my mother said to me at one point, I've always seen you teaching. And I said, you got to stop that. You can't tell me that one more time. And she did. She stopped.
Well, that's nice. At least she listened to you,
yeah.
Right?
She did. Yes, she
yeah.
did.
Yeah.
And I don't think it was out of any malice for them. It was a fear for them about me. Like, what, I remember my mother said, like, one in a million makes it.
Right,
right. I don't mean to discourage you, but of course it's extremely discouraging.
Yeah.
And that's remember she said to me once too. Not everybody gets to do what they want.
Right.
And I think
that's
how she felt. Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. I think that's normal for parents, right? Like, you just want the best for your kids. You don't want to see them struggle. But landing in something that you're in a career that you're super unhappy with is kind of a struggle in and of its own.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And teaching kids could be very, very, a very unhappy profession if you're not into it.
If you don't want to do it. And I'll tell you what, I'm not a kid person. So.
Are you not?
I would have been friggin' miserable. Yeah, no, I'm not.
Is there a certain age that
that I'll deal with them?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, mid-20s.
Mid-20s?
Yeah.
I can see that. I've got two young ones myself. I got two young daughters. One is five. One is two. And I'm starting to get where you're at.
I like them as babies. Oh, I love babies.
Yeah, they're not newborns. Pretty easy to deal with.
Yeah.
Once you start getting into five,
they're
six,
a blank slate. And,
oh yeah, totally, totally, yeah. Exactly. Well, let's do this, Jane. Let's take our second musical break, and then we'll be right back, and we'll talk a little bit more about you and about this show that's coming up in Seattle. We'll be back with more of the Air Raid Podcast for your ears with special guest this week, Jane Lynch, in just a moment. Stay with us. We left off talking a little bit about how you got started in acting. It sounds like a lot of stage plays and things of that nature. Was that your first kind of love?
Oh yeah, yeah, that was great. And also, it was the only thing on offer.
Well, sure,
where I was, and I went to school and studied acting. And when I say studied, it's not like we sat at a desk, you know. Especially when I was at Cornell, we had boys' classes, we had fencing, we had movement, we had You know, we had a Shakespeare class. We had all sorts of specialized things, and it was a joy, just a joy. It was a conservatory type of environment.
Uh-huh. And the people, you like the people that you were dealing with and working with? And
oh, yeah, I love theater people. I love actors. You know, there's just such a fearlessness and you know, you have to be able to laugh at yourself. There were a couple of people, you know, and they never laughed, who can't laugh at themselves or too serious about something. Also, and they're not usually very good.
Yeah.
But that's why I love actors. You know, they're amazing people, and they're fearless people, and they're usually quite kind, the good ones. You know, the good ones are always quite kind.
Well, that's
and,
good.
You know, I've had, I don't know if it's good fortune, but I have worked with amazingly lovely people throughout my career.
Well, it seems like it. I mean, I've been following your career for a long time. I've been a big fan for a long time, especially most notably your work with Christopher Guest.
Right.
In those movies. And, you know, you've always got this air about you in those films, too. The very sardonic humor is something that I have an affinity for.
Yeah.
And you're so good at it. I just love seeing you on screen. When did you get hooked up with that camp, the Christopher Guest?
The Christopher Guest camp. You know, we just did another movie too, by the way, that'll be out in the summer.
Oh, really?
Called Mascot. But we can talk about that. But I met Christopher when I did a commercial for Kellogg's Frosted Flakes, and lo and behold, I find out at the callback he's the director. And
really?
This would have been in the late 90s. Yeah, he directs commercials. I don't know if he does anymore, but he's directed like one a day. He was a prolific commercial director, and if you ever laughed at a commercial on television, he probably directed it.
Oh my God, I had no
idea. So he did it. He does. He started all those ESPN things, those really funny ESPN and I don't know that those, he still does them. I have no idea, but he's responsible for those funny, wry spots. And so we did this spot together, and at lunch he said to me, you know, I do movies. And I'm like, yeah, I know. Waiting for Guffman had just been released,
right?
And he said, maybe we'll get to work together someday. And we did.
Wow. Well, that must have been a pretty big moment.
Yeah, it was a huge moment. And then the huger moment, if you will, was about 6 months later, I was at a restaurant in Beverly Hills having breakfast, and he walked in and he said, hey, you know, I forgot about you, but I'm doing a movie. Come to my office today. And then by the end of the day, I was cast in Best in Show.
What? Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So did that entail like an audition or anything, or was it just he knew that you would be right for the part?
No, no audition. And he says, he's told me before that he can tell within like 3 seconds of meeting somebody if they know how to do this kind of you know, process or whatever. And so we had done that commercial together, and it was all improvised. It was just like the movie.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, he deemed me capable, and so I've been in the last four of them.
Yeah. Oh my God, that's great. Yeah. So what's the new one that's coming out? Mascot.
It's called Mascots, and it's about those folks who dress up as mascots for non-professional teams.
Okay.
And it culminates in real life and in our movie. It culminates in a competition at the end of the year. And so you get to know all these people and their different mascots and their stories, and then they all come together at the end the way Christopher Guest film always does in some kind of competition or performance. And it's hilarious. It's so sweet. It's going to be on Netflix, which is kind of cool.
Oh,
so
perfect.
It'll
That's
be on
great.
All the time. Yeah.
Now, is this actually like a full-length feature, or is it like a series?
Yeah, full-length feature.
Nice.
Yeah, Netflix has done a few full-length, and I think they release them in theaters to begin with, and I don't know if that will be the case with this movie, but it's been done before.
Yeah.
They usually do a kind of a targeted release in theaters, and then they offer it as a download.
Yeah. Now, as an actor,
I don't know if that's
right. Right. As an actor, do you appreciate what things like Netflix and Hulu and Amazon are doing with you know, like content on demand?
I do, and one of the great thing about it is they really let the creators and the showrunners have their voice. They're right. Great artist advocates. So, you know, they trust. Like, I think their first show was House of Cards.
Yeah.
And they just completely turned it over to Kevin Spacey and his company, and they gave him like $1 million an episode or something. I think now that's not as absurd as it was then.
Right.
Let him do it and look what they came up with. You know, they had some great people on that, you know, running that show and writing that show. And so they just let it be. And that's what I love about those platforms. And also, you know, television is, who watches it on TV anymore? I don't.
Yeah.
I watch everything on my computer.
Right. And people consume it differently too. I mean, these shows get so involved. You can't stop watching. It's like a Pringles can.
Yeah.
Can't stop eating until you get to the
bottom. I love the binge watching thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, totally. Yeah. You do that too, huh?
My favorite way. Yeah, I do. It's my favorite way. I rarely watch one episode of anything.
Right, right.
And I don't watch a lot of television, so when I watch, I really watch.
Yeah, what's your favorite thing right now?
Well, House of Cards, but of course it's been over for a while. Mm-hmm. Anxiously waiting the next season. It's been over for me. Let's see. Transparent.
Amazing.
I always love Episodes. Episodes is a terrific show on Showtime.
Yeah.
Modern Family still makes me laugh, and I still watch an episode here and there of Modern Family.
Yeah.
I just started watching The Good Wife. I think it's pretty good, and I hear it gets really, really great.
I haven't started that one yet. But heard good things.
Yeah.
Heard a lot of good things about that. So back to what you're coming to Seattle for. You're actually doing basically like a Broadway but not quite Broadway show, right?
No, exactly. It's a live music show. It's a concert.
Yeah.
And it's I have an amazing kick-ass 5-piece band, the Tony Guerrero Quintet. My friend Kate Flannery, who was Meredith the Drunk in the Office, she joins me.
Uh-huh.
And my friend Tim Davis, who is the vocal arranger on Glee and a wonderful crooner, he joins us later on in the show. And we do terrific tight three-part harmonies. And the songbook of this show goes all the way from Irving Berlin to Nicki Minaj to the songs that made us cry when we were kids, medley.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, we're all over the place. A lot of 80s pop songs. We do a medley of the futility of romantic love, highlighting some of the more over-the-top romantic songs that we all grew up with. And, it's about an hour of crazy fun, you know, with some funny patter in between. But musically, I'm really proud of it. I think it's a terrific show.
Yeah. So is this, along with doing stage productions, are you partial to doing singing as well?
Yeah, absolutely. I love it all.
Yeah.
I love doing it all, and it looks like you can do it all if you want, so I'm going to do it all. Yes, I love to sing, and I love, I just don't dance. I always say that. Don't worry, I don't
I was gonna,
I do. I have a couple of moves, and you'll see them over and over again in Seattle.
That's what I was going to ask you if you've learned yet.
I'm much better, and that's from Glee, because I had to dance on Glee.
Right.
My first two numbers were dancing numbers on Glee. It was ridiculous. When I did the Vogue video the first season, that was some really tough choreography. I worked on it forever. I worked really hard, and I got really good at it.
Did you hate the process, though? Was it just grueling?
I did.
Yeah.
I hated it the way you hated the prospect of singing on stage when you were sitting in the porta potty. That's how I felt about the dancing.
Oh, I share something in common with Jane Lynch. That's amazing. Yeah, dancing. Dancing is. Yeah, yeah. I think that's that. It takes a special person to really be comfortable with their movements. I think.
Someone talented, I think, is
yeah.
what it takes. I love that show, So You Think You Can Dance?
Right.
Which I think is kind of a snarky title for the level of talent that shows up on that show. And I will watch that from time to time.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Those folks are just, they're the unsung artists, I think, of our time. That and perhaps painters.
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
we don't have the pop culture respect for them, and you know what? That's what keeps it wonderful, and that's what keeps it also keeps it an amazing artistic thing. Is that it? you know, there's no Kardashians at the ballet.
Right,
or doing visual art.
Yeah, well, they're kind of, I mean, they're kind of the artists that are in the background, right? Like, I mean, you go to a, to a Beyonce show, right? There's going to be dancers up there making, making the stage show, right?
Yes,
and
exactly.
A lot of the times you have no idea who these people are.
Right, and they, that symmetry between art and athleticism is pretty amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. I would agree with you full-heartedly.
Skepticism. What is the word I meant? What did I mean, Aaron?
I have no idea.
Synastry? Maybe I'm
Symmetry?
In the wrong word. Let's just say the combination.
Okay, there you go.
That's wrong. Okay, let's.
Well, wait
go.
A minute. I'm wait a minute. I think I know what you're trying.
What is the word I'm looking
oh,
for?
Oh God. People are going to be writing me
life is
emails.
Too short, the struggle. Yeah. Oh, they're going to be writing me too. I'm sure it'll get tweeted like crazy. You use that word incorrectly, James.
oh God, I was going to ask you something, and I thought it was a great question, then
Sinistry.
I forgot it.
Never mind. Go move on.
Okay.
Oh gosh. Well, because we wasted time on that word.
I know.
That I don't
it's
know.
Terrible.
Never should have used.
So. what's the one thing that you've been most proud of in your career?
Oh, I don't have pride.
You don't have pride?
I think, you know what I think? I don't. I don't. I'm not sentimental. I don't walk away going, I'm proud.
Yeah?
But there are things. Yeah, I think I'll go back to my childhood. My youth. The ability to feel like I got knocked down, because nobody ever really knocks yourself down. You knock yourself down.
Uh-huh.
The feeling that I got knocked down and I get back up, kind of like a weevil wobbles, but they don't fall down.
Yeah.
And I wanted to. You probably don't even know that advertising phrase, do you?
Weevil wobble? Weevils?
Yeah, weevils wobble, but they don't fall down.
Oh, yeah, totally. That was the little so toy.
Anyways,
little toy back in the 80s, right?
Right, probably. Yeah.
Yeah.
Weevils wobble, but they don't fall down. And I think that I could that applies to me as a young person. And now, you know, I don't see it as falling down and getting back up. You know, I, not everything is quote unquote gone my way, but it's gone away. It's gone the way. And I really don't waste time judging it anymore.
Well, okay. So let me rephrase that then. Like, what is something?
All right, then rephrase it.
I will.
Ashamed of?
Symmetry. No.
Okay. Symmetry. Wrong. If it's
yeah,
symmetry.
No, it's not. Yeah, it's not. Okay. That's not the right one. So what would you say, like, not proud, but something that you were most happy with, like a project that you were very excited about?
This show.
Well, that goes without saying, Jane.
You know, Yeah. Here we go. You know why? Because first of all, it's the thing I'm doing now. But I'm I every moment of that show I put together, and I created, if you will. And I had to go through much resistance, emotional and mental resistance to it. Like I'm getting an honorary degree on Saturday at Columbia College.
Really? Congratulations,
Chicago. And I haven't written my thank you, and I haven't written my speech yet.
Oh, no.
Because writing is the thing that hangs over my head like a mallet. And putting this show together, you know, writing it and coming up with a set list and all of that stuff, even though once I got into it, once I, like, had just a germ of an idea, it all came fast and furious, and it was easy, and it flowed, and I was, hooked up to a muse. But this show makes me really happy because not only is the show itself pleasing, but the people who are in it. I have five of the best musicians, and I don't know how I got them. You know, I think it was Tim Davis that he's the guy who turned me on to them and asked them to do it and made it happen, and they've been touring with me for the last year. He's amazing. And Kate Flannery, I have so much, first of all, she's a great friend, but so much respect and love for her, and when you guys see what she does, you will know that I could not go out on the road all by myself. And have the kind of show that I have without her. So I'm grateful for Tim and all of them. I'm really thrilled with this show. And people always are smiling and tapping their toes and up on their feet, and no pressure. You don't have to give us a standing ovation, but we get them. And it's
That's
a
fantastic.
Lot of fun. It's even down to the tour manager who makes everything happen. Deanna, she's a wonderful person, and she's so invested in this, you know, enterprise. And so, yeah, it's been the best.
Well, that makes me happy.
It's me too.
You know what that sounds like, though, Jane?
Pride. Pride?
Yeah.
Guilty.
Well, Jane, I'm excited to see the show, and I'm very happy for all your success.
Oh, thank you so much. So, yeah. The Triple Door will be there.
Yeah, and I'm really looking forward to seeing Mascots. That sounds amazing.
Yeah, it's going to be great. It's sometime, maybe July. I'm not real sure, but
okay.
Yeah. It'll be amazing.
Well, thank you so much, Jane Lynch, for joining me today. It's been an honor and a pleasure.
You bet. Aw, thanks. That got it.
Well, there you have it, folks. Jane Lynch, starring in the all-new Christopher Guest vehicle. Mascots, coming to a Netflix near you. Netflix streaming sometime in July of this year. But we can't be sure. Also, the word that we were trying to think of was, now I can't even remember it again. It's not symmetry. It's synergy. 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 There you go. There you go. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed this episode 298 of the Air Raid podcast. As always, you can go to our archives tab at air-raid.net. Check out all 298 episodes with people like Duff McKagan, founding member of Guns N' Roses, Mike McCready of Pearl Jam, Chris Walla, formerly of Death Cab for Cutie, comedians and actors like Judah Friedlander from 30 Rock, Pete Holmes, Mike Birbiglia, Bob Saget, Aisha Tyler, Dana Gould, all sorts of Duncan Trussell, all sorts of stuff there for your listening pleasure. Let's see, famous and indie musicians as well. All right, right there. Find out about something new, like Robert Stewart, our number one fan. You can subscribe to Air Raid on iTunes, and if you do, please take a moment to rate the show. It only takes a couple seconds to give us a star rating, and it really helps us out in the long run. We're available on the Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play, Cairo Radio apps, and now on the Spreaker app as part of the Adore Network. You can visit our website at air-raid.net and subscribe directly to our RSS feed, or just go to the Spreaker page. There you go. And check it out there. Keep in touch by liking our Facebook page at facebook.com/theairraidpodcast. And our Twitter handle is @airraidnet. You can follow us there. Or you can email me directly, like Robert Stewart did from Jacksonville, Florida, at aaron@air-raid.net. And remember to take the pledge, folks. Take the pledge to tell somebody about this show. Bring it up in conversation. Tell your mother, your sister, your brother, your friends. We'll even take your cousins. There you go. All right. We're going to go out today with the music that we have been featuring throughout the episode. Eric Blood off of his new album, Lost in Slow Motion, which is out now. Please go to ericblood.com. Purchase yourself a copy because it is fantastic, people. Fantastic. One of my favorite musicians of all time. And luckily enough to call this guy a friend too, man. It's pretty cool. Pretty cool, man. Not going to lie. Not gonna lie. Okay, this one is called... Oh, God, what is this called? I think I fucked up. I think I messed up. Shit. Oh, this one's called Quiet. There you go. There it is. All right. Okay, thank you guys so much for listening. We'll be back next week. Oh, and one thing I forgot to tell you. After next week's episode, we're going to take a break for a couple weeks and try to get some stuff in order. I need to spend some time with my family. We'll remind you of this next week as well. But yeah, we're going to take a couple weeks off after episode 299, compose ourselves and get ready for episode 300 of the Air Raid podcast. Can you believe it? It's pretty cool, man. It's pretty cool. This is a big milestone. Big milestone for us. We've been going for a long time. All right. This is Quiet by Eric Blood off of his new album, Lost in Slow Motion. Thank you so much for listening this week, everybody. We love you so much. Thank you. Have a great week.